Welcome to the special podcast that is a companion to our article, Books Aren't Dead, Resurrecting Audio Technology and Feminist Digital Humanities Approaches to Publication and Authorship for the Digital Humanities Quarterly Special Issue on Audiovisual DH Challenges and Possibilities.
I'm Robin Hershkowitz from Bowling Green State University.
And I'm Emily Edwards from Bowling Green State University.
And like you said, we are recording this to a companion to an article we contributed about podcasts as part of AV, Audiovisual Technology and Digital Humanities. And this is actually interesting because to sort of peel back the curtain, this is our second time recording this because our article has developed over time in the revision process. And so actually that kind of goes along with our, like what we're talking about in our theory and about how it's kind of an ongoing process and we're learning about it.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting to note that this is, we've been co-writing this article for the special issue, but this is kind of an extension of some of our other work together that we, in the article, we talk about the Books Aren't Dead podcast. And so in addition to co-writing this article, we co-podcast together.
Fembot Collective is sort of the umbrella that the podcast that we talk about in the article, which is called Books Aren't Dead. So the Fembot Collective was founded in 2009, University of Oregon, and it's a collective to create and facilitate open access, open source publishing platforms for feminist research. Its main area is a journal called AGDT, the Journal of Gender, New Media, and Technology, and it's also runs as a collective and as a support system through a listserv and other ways. And Books Aren't Dead is the podcast that we co-produce, and we didn't originate it. It actually started in 2012, but in the past 2 years, we've relaunched it.
Well, thank you, Robin, for that overview of the Fembot Collective. And, you know, as you mentioned, Books Aren't Dead was previously running as a podcast, but we kind of relaunched it. And it's designed to feature interviews of authors and creators of books, academic works, and games that are at the intersection of feminism, technology, new media, and digital spaces. The goal of the podcast is to connect and to interview authors and creators who are working at those intersections and to publish audio book reviews of and project reviews of things of that nature.
You know, this is interesting because when we first initiated the idea for this article, we only had a couple interviews under our belt. And simultaneously, while we've been working on this project, we've had more interviews on the podcast. So it kind of also supports our idea of learning by doing and how things are change and you kind of adjust with each interview. And we're learning more and more with every interview we do.
Yeah, and I think also it has been interesting. We've been working on this article as well as the podcast in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. And that has really, I think, underscored the importance of virtual collaboration and connectivity, you know, through the podcast model, that it has been really gratifying to work with and connect with authors and interview them.
Aside from our time and priorities, the work is actually not as affected by COVID as far as the work of recording and editing and posting, because we did our interviews by phone. How it's helped is that it is a way to maintain scholarship and maintain connections. It's also a way for Emily and I to continue our development, our professional development, and our scholarly development, especially over the summer, because, you know, our conferences and institutes were, and classes, et cetera, were canceled. So it's been, you know, you try to find a positive in all of this. So that has been a positive. And I think that a model like this and other audiovisual can continue to maintain scholarship and connections when other ways are no longer available.
Yeah, I think that is a really great point, Robin, and I think it leads us sort of our first, what you're talking about with the utility of audiovisual technology in allowing for, you know, scholarship to happen in challenging times across spaces, I think is really interesting and kind of connects to what we talk about as sort of like tensions and debates in the field of digital humanities, specifically with feminist approaches to the production of scholarship and to networking and to connection.
When I'm reading, especially academic articles, there is a certain, it's a genre that people write and there's certain rules that you have to follow, but you're still reading different people's work, right? And you're hearing different voices. And some voices are very distinct, even though it's an academic writing. And it actually is interesting if we heard them talk about their own article or read it in their own voice, what I think would make a difference in it feeling sort of this behind this structure of academic hierarchy.
I think that this kind of relates to kind of our broader point of the article is that bad and podcasting more generally as a form of publication authorship allows feminist digital humanities practitioners to subvert some of these hierarchies of voice and of authority. And I think that what sort of got us interested in this project of being co-producers of Bad in the first place was the opportunity to engage in networking and the production of knowledge by creating podcasts in a way that seemed really kind of like dramatically open, in a way that, like, you know, maybe we couldn't walk up to, I don't know, a really high impact journal and say, oh, I want to like write a book review of this author that I'm really excited about. But the podcast model of book reviews and of BAD specifically really encourages peer-to-peer democratic connection that I think is a really big part of feminist digital humanities approaches to publication and to authorship.
Yeah, and writing book reviews, like writing written book reviews, we're certainly not knocking that. There is plenty of knowledge to be learned there. And I think this is more about not replacing those completely, but adding a concurrent path, I would say, to learning how to engage with scholarship that I think can be really useful and more kind of subversive to the spoken and unspoken rules of academia.
I see podcasting and BAD specifically as another way to kind of like not only intervene into these sort of hierarchical kind of like labor practices, but also the hierarchies that we talk about in archives of knowledge and in canons of knowledge by interviewing and engaging with scholars who are working in the intersections of feminism, new media, and technology, and interviewing them and literally talking about their work and kind of curating a podcast archive, that this allows us and other practitioners to produce a new archive and to intervene into what is like the knowledge that is out there by like literally engaging in conversation with people.
And that is why I wanted to merge sort of a subject to bring into digital humanities, which is performance studies, because listen, we're performing all the time. One could argue that writing an academic article is a performance with rules and scripts and rehearsals. Podcasts are, it's an audio performance as well. And, you know, this is a fairly, I guess I would say, tame conversation we're having. We've all listened to podcasts. We know kind of the different emotions and mapping. For all our podcasts, and even this podcast, we have a script, right? A written script. For this one, we have a brief outline. We're not reciting actually words written down, but with that, right, we are improvising in a way, and it does create a performance, and a performance that will never be done again. And kind of every time you have it, it's sort of this one unique performance. The performance changes as you engage with the author. Emily and I know each other pretty well, so we kind of have an expectation about how this conversation is going to go. But if you have somebody that you've never really talked to before, you know, you can get excited about something. New revelations can be made. There's a, you know, depends on the chemistry you have with the author. If criticism comes up on either side, I think it sort of creates an archive of performance that's co-scripted in the moment. So even though you have that, there is a performance element that goes into podcasting regardless of genre.
Robin, we talk about our favorite question is sort of like, well, like, what are your like methods? And like, you know, what was your methodological process in writing this book? Or, you know, what was the actual writing process of this book or this piece? And that's not something that you can necessarily kind of like centralize or ask in a textual book review. So getting into the process, I think is really exciting. And the medium of the podcast allows us to engage with those questions.
A good book will give its methodology and kind of how it's approached, but right, that's not the true story. There's more to it about, you know, trying to track down certain archives or challenges along the way that maybe wouldn't be put in the book. So as a reviewer, you wouldn't know that outright. The other thing is, you know, we talk about feminist media and feminist authors, and there has been and still is a stigma about the sound of women's voices and that there's a preference for voices, and also a lot of talk about vocal fry and pauses and things like that. And I think that we are actively working against that and to put out every voice that needs to say something is valid. And we want people to talk about their own work instead of somebody interpreting. The other thing I wanted to mention is that as far as for our own development and as we encourage other people to podcast, podcasting has a lot of technical skills that are not difficult, I would say. And actually there's a lot of tools out there, even in the past year, to make podcasting easier. We use Anchor FM, which is a very easy hosting service. You know, I use a free program, Audacity. So having those skills, I think, and Emily and I are in an interdisciplinary humanities program. You know, that's not necessarily something that you're going to learn in class, but obviously we're talking about digital humanities, that to give yourself the confidence to learn these technical skills, which will be valuable and enriching for you. You know, not everything's about, you know, the job search, but having, you know what I mean, especially if we're looking in an alternative academic setting, those skills are going to be really useful.
Yeah, just going off of this, I think that not only that, like having these skills, these sort of like technical skills, which are increasingly accessible, is important for or can be important for one's own professional development. But I think it's also really exciting that in learning these new technical skills, you know, and doing a podcast, you can produce knowledge in a way that is more accessible to a broader, you know, to a broader public and to a different type of audience. And in the article, we do mention that that book reviews are, you know, they're increasingly sort of like behind paywalled publications that even, you know, maybe smaller academic institutions or independent scholars, you know, are unable to afford these subscription fees and access.
Relevant to COVID, I think what COVID has told us about labor space, academic space, general space and time is that is changing. And that's a very temporary thing that can change in our lives very quickly. And, you know, we're not at work, you know, this is research time, because our research time and our personal time and our family time has all sort of blended. So, you know, listening is, for me personally, you know, I've had a hard time concentrating, as I'm sure most people have. So listening as an input of knowledge is more applicable to this new temporality that we're experiencing.
This is, I think, a really exciting way to get involved in kind of like DH project creation in a way that doesn't require lots of grants or external support.
Yeah, we're self-taught. You know, with some Googling and with some advice, I mean, you can figure it out yourself and just do it. And we've just done it. We've seized the mic.
This is a conversation we would like to definitely to keep having and to continue having. And we're excited to see what else develops in the field. And we're also excited to connect with any potential collaborators and contributors if you're interested in the Books Aren't Dead mission and your research sort of fits in with some of the themes that we're working on. So we would love to continue this conversation and to continue growing the community that we have at the FemBot Collective.
Yeah, and you can find the actual podcast a couple places. If it's fembotcollective.manifoldapp.org is the FemBot Collective main page, and you also find the journal there, but you can also search Books Aren't Dead on Spotify and all the places that you listen to podcasts.